Tonight's message is entitled, Don't Limit an Unlimited God. Not going to be a very long message, but just a few key points I want to share with you. In the past, not that long ago, I shared several parts to a message titled, Stay Vertical and Stay Victorious. And the emphasis being on Jesus and our need to stay verticals, keep our eyes focused on Jesus, keep our eyes focused on the spiritual realm. And we need to do that. Even though we live here in the natural realm, we need to keep our eyes focused on God. And, you know, maybe said a different way, but even Pastor Greg had been teaching for several sessions on first things first, keeping the kingdom first. So we need to keep our focus in the spiritual and heavenly realm. And today, with everything that's going on in the natural realm, you can get so distracted and so off target. But we need to deal with things in the spiritual realm through prayer, through faith, through other things, but we can't get caught up into it because we'll get out of the will of God. So your faith is key to God's unlimited stock room in the heavenly realm. You've heard me say this in messages, especially if you came to healing classes, that our faith is like a lasso. You take your lasso and you put it out there into the heavenly realm and you put it around the desire or the need that you're believing God for. And then with your faith, you pull it out of the supernatural realm, out of the heavenly realm, and down into the natural realm. And that's what our faith does. So as you know, everything in the natural realm started out in the spiritual realm. We know from Genesis 1 that God spoke into existence everything that's in the earth. And he was in the spiritual realm and he called it out. We have his same DNA. And with the same DNA, we do the same thing. So tonight, ask yourself if there's any area in your life where you have limited God. Since this is not an in-person audience, I can't get your feedback. But just think for a minute. Have I limited God in any way? In my finances, in my health, in my relationships, in my job? Ask yourself, have I limited God? Have you ever heard someone say, I live on a limited income? I've heard it. And ironically, this tends to be said by retired individuals. I've heard it. I'm living on a limited income. So right there, they've limited God. When I did the message about taking from God a few weeks back, I mentioned that many people will go to God with only certain things, but not everything. We can get self-righteous when we think we don't need God and can do it ourselves, and he will let us. He's not going to use force. He's not going to go against your will. He'll let you do it yourself. Have you ever heard people say, I can't afford to do that? Or they may say, the doctor said, and they fill in the blank, and you can fill it in with something that is pertinent to you or anything else, and it is never followed up with what God said. They'll talk about the issue, they'll talk about all the things, but they never come back with what God has to say. Many times people accept whatever the medical diagnosis is, especially if they are elderly or if the diagnosis has no medical treatment or cure. And this is wrong, and especially for Christians, because we have an unlimited God. We know that what happened in the Old Testament is for us to learn from. The Israelites give us a lot of examples of what not to do. So let's start by going to Psalm 78. We're going to read verses 40 to 42. I'm going to read it in both the Passion and the Voice. Psalm 78, verses 40 to 42. How many times they rebelled in their desert days, how they grieved him with their grumblings. Now listen to verse 41. Again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Continually, they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Now, let me say that again, because this is critical. Again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. So right there, you can see that when you limit God, you cut off your blessings. It is never God who holds things back. Never God who holds things back. Verse 42, they forgot his great love, how he took them by his hand, and with redemption's kiss, he delivered them from their enemies. Okay, let's listen to it in the voice, starting at verse 40 in the voice. Oh, how often they disobeyed him in the wilderness and frustrated him during their time in the desert. Over and over again, they tested God's patience and caused great pain for Israel's Holy One. Ouch. I would never want to find myself in a position where I was grieving God and causing him pain. Verse 42. They failed to be mindful of his great strength. They forgot all about the day he saved them from the enemy, when he displayed all sorts of signs and wonders in Egypt and all the amazing things he did in the region of Zion. Verse 41, again, over and over again, they tested God's patience and caused great pain for Israel's Holy One. It grieves God when he can't bless his people. Think about that. God is grieved when he can't do for you what he wants to do, what you need, what you would like. Now, I just don't want to be guilty of causing great pain for the Lord. And you heard me say this. I said it in the last message and probably during the healing classes. Bears repeating. Who are we to deny Jesus the right to do what he came to do? How you and I respond to God's promises will determine what he can do for us. There are no limits for our God. Absolutely no limits. When we respond in faith, we will have the victory because faith moves God and faith moves mountains. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I'm going to read it in the Passion. 1 Timothy 6, 17. To all the rich of this world, I command you not to be wrapped in thoughts of pride over your prosperity or rely on your wealth, for your riches are unreliable and nothing compared to the living God. Trust instead in the one who lavishes upon us all good things, fulfilling our every need. Let me say that again. Trust instead in the one who lavishes, doesn't sound like he's being cheap, who lavishes upon us all good things, fulfilling our every need. That's the picture we need to get of our God. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 32. I'm going to read that from the Voice translation. Romans 8, verse 32. If he did not spare his own son, but handed him over on our account, then don't you think that he will graciously give us all things with him? Think about that. Don't you think that he will graciously give us all things with him? Listen to it in the Passion. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. So he gives to us lavishly. He won't hold things back. And so we've got to understand that when we have a need, even a desire, we can go to God and expect that our prayers will be answered, our requests will be answered. I've come to realize that there are different reasons why we limit God. And I'm certainly not covering all of them, just a couple. But Scripture does not support that this is correct. There's nowhere in Scripture that says, just go to God for 6 months' supply. Nowhere does it tell us, just go to God for him to heal this thing, but not this. Nowhere supports limiting God. Amen? So whatever the reason, okay, we just understand that scripture is telling us to expect from God and tells us the opposite, that we should not limit our God. See, in the world, we've been raised to be independent. If you're female, you're independent till you get married, but you're supposed to be independent of other people. And yet in the scriptures, we find that we are supposed to be dependent upon God. I used to be in the world attitude, the world type of thinking. I'm so glad I'm in the spiritual part now. I'm so glad it's different. But maybe it was your culture. Maybe it was the church upbringing you had or didn't have. Maybe you didn't have any church upbringing. Maybe your own self-image. Maybe you had people in your family that told you you were a loser and you would never amount to anything. Whatever the reason, it really doesn't matter, because we know that we need to renew our mind on the word and let the Holy Spirit transform us from the inside out, allowing the word to have the final say. And when we get transformed and we are focused on the word, we're not going to limit God. And we do that by faith. So it's our job to search the scriptures and then choose to believe them. Choose to believe the scriptures. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 37, a favorite scripture of mine, Luke 1, 37. I'm going to read it in several translations. I'm going to start with the New King James Version. And it says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, I love it in the Amplified. Listen to it in the Amplified. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Now, we're going to look at that, because the word of God has power in it. Just like when God created things, his words went out, and the power by the Holy Spirit caused things to be created. In the Passion Translation, it says, "Not one promise from God is empty of power. Nothing is impossible with God." Okay, so you have promises for everything in your life, because there's nothing that wasn't dealt with or taken care of at Calvary through Jesus Christ. Okay, not one promise from God is empty of power. It will accomplish what it would set forth to do. We know from Isaiah, his word, the word of God, cannot return void. So the promise contains the power, but part of our responsibility is to speak it out. Speak it out. Listen to it in the Message. In the Message, you know that the way they do it, you have to kind of take a couple verses together. So it's verse 36 to 38 in the Message. And it says, "And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God." So let me just say this, okay? If there's anyone out there who was told that you could not get pregnant, I would meditate on this verse. I would also meditate on Romans 4:17 and any of the scriptures that talk about Sarah being barren and never having a child, but ends up having one in her old age. Amen? So the world will go down a particular path to deal with the problem, when our God has no limits and can deal with the same problem in 2 seconds flat. I'd rather go with God, trust me. So let's look at Luke 18:27, and I'm going to read that one from the Voice and the Passion. Luke 18:27 in the Voice. "Remember, what is humanly impossible is possible with God." So many people believing for a child have to go through all kinds of fertility testing and spend thousands of dollars for going through that process, but it's not impossible with God. Okay? Remember, what is humanly impossible is possible with God. So I don't care what medical diagnosis you've been given. It's not impossible for God. Listen to it in the Passion. Jesus responded, "What appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God, for God can do what man cannot." We need to just get that ingrained in our hearts. God can do what man cannot. Listen to it in the Contemporary English Version. "There are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything." So just keep that in the forefront. I do believe that there are some people, probably more than a few, that are dealing with some major challenges, evil reports, loss of job, financial crisis, but our God is the God of the impossible. Any humanly impossible situation can become possible when you take the limits off of God. Just learn from what the Israelites did. They limited God. And it says they did it over and over and over. So some of you with your impossible situations, you may be wavering and thinking, I don't know if this is going to work, and maybe I'll try this. Just stay vertical. Go to God and wait to hear what he believes you should do. Wait to hear from him what the answer is. Amen? So please take the time and meditate on these scriptures. You must get to the place where you believe without a shadow of doubt that your God can do the impossible. You have to get to a point where you're like a bulldog, that no matter what the world says, you're going to hold on and you continue to believe the word. It is the final authority. We can limit God with our unbelief. Just like, again, we go back to the Israelites. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And I'm going to read it in the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3. And it says, "The promise to enter the place of rest is still good, and we must take care that none of you miss out. We have heard the message just as they did, but they failed to believe what they heard, and the message did not do them any good." They failed to believe what they heard, and the message didn't do them any good. But listen to verse 3. "Only people who have faith will enter the place of rest." Again, faith is your lasso that gets you into the place of rest. "It is just as the scriptures say, God became angry and told the people, 'You will never enter my place of rest.' God said this, even though everything had been ready from the time of creation." Everything was done. Our God is so awesome. He's so amazing that when he created everything, okay, he didn't create Adam first and then say, I think he's going to need water, so let me create water. No, Adam was the very last to be created. Everything else was there. It was ready for Adam. It was ready for creation. It was already done. There was nothing he forgot about. There was nothing he had to go back and say, I don't know why I didn't think of that. That's not our God. Okay? So everything you need is here. Listen to the same Hebrews 4, 1 to 3 in the Passion. "Now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word." They did not join their faith with the word. "Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted." Verse 3, "For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest." Remember now, faith activates the promise That's what causes it to come to pass, and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath. They will not enter into my rest. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. And folks, you've heard this time and time again, bears repeating. When Jesus went to the cross and he said, it is finished, that took care of everything. So everything we needed from that point on was provided. A New Testament, the Old Testament was under the law. We have a New Testament with better promises, and it was done. We know stories where in the Old Testament, the Israelites limited God to enter the promised land when 10 out of the 12 spies were overwhelmed with the natural realm. They didn't believe God. God was about to bless them with the promised land, okay? When they were overwhelmed with the giants and the things in the natural realm, and they chose not to believe what their God had promised them. Joshua and Caleb, thank God, didn't limit God. Unfortunately, they had to wait the 40 years. But again, look what happened because they limited God. Your faith will take you into the unlimited power of God. And I'm going to say that again. Our faith takes us into the unlimited power of God. So let's look at Jesus teaching the disciples how to do the impossible. Let's go to familiar scriptures, Mark 11. We're going to start verses 12 to 14 in the Passion. Mark 11, 12 to 14 in the Passion. The next day, as he left Bethany, Jesus was feeling hungry. He noticed a leafy fig tree in the distance, so he walked over to see if there was any fruit on it, but there was none, only leaves, for it wasn't yet the season for bearing figs. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, saying, "No one will ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples overheard him. They never questioned him, they never asked, but they listened. Let's go down to verse 20. I'm still in the Passion, Mark 11, 20 and 21. In the morning, they passed by the fig tree that Jesus spoke to, and it was completely withered from the roots up. Peter remembered and said to him, "Teacher, look, that's the fig tree you cursed. It's now all shriveled up and dead." Okay, so you know that there's times when you pray and believe God that you may not see an immediate change in your circumstance or your situation. But that doesn't mean that your prayer wasn't answered. This fig tree had to die from the roots up. And that's exactly what happened. So Jesus takes this opportunity to teach the disciples. He had cursed the fig tree the day before, and Peter now notices that it's dried up. Jesus wants the disciples to understand that they can do the exact same thing. And so can we. We need to learn from this. This is not new. People have heard this, okay? And I'm just encouraging you not to turn off your listening ears here, okay? Because you've heard this before. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Mark 11, let's go down to verse 22 to 24. And here Jesus talks about speaking to mountains. And we should be speaking out our desired outcomes before they're manifested in the natural. So when you pray, you start speaking out because those promises have power. The promises have power. We activate that with our faith. So my question to you is, how big is your mountain? Do you think your mountain is so big that your God can't take care of it? Is your mountain bigger than your God? If you've been coming to this ministry for any length of time, I know you know how big your God is. Amen? But there's some people out there that may be tuning in even for the first time. You know that we speak to the mountains, and when we speak to our mountains, that power of God will work and move it. Amen. Our faith is the key component here, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But my question also to you is, what have you been hearing? What are you leaning into? What are you spending your time in? In Mark 11, 22 to 24, in the New King James Version, Jesus says, and Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. When your faith is in God, you will see the victory. When your faith is in God, not in doctors, not in the world, okay, not in yourself, but when it's in God, you'll see the victory. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, right there, that eliminates any question that you have to have certain qualifications. God is not a respecter of persons. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Again, the power comes when we speak out the promises. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, that very moment, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Just like when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, that was the moment that that fig tree dried up from the roots. The process had started. Let's look at this in the Passion. I'm going to read verses 22, Mark 11, 22, 24 in the Passion. Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. Now, we all, if you know scriptures, you know God is in us and we are in him. Verse 23, listen to the truth I speak to you. Whoever says to this mountain with great faith and does not doubt, mountain be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Now, it's interesting that in the Passion, you don't see, or you see this here and not in the other translations, whoever says to this mountain with great faith. So we're being encouraged, we're being told to speak out in faith, and when we do, that power manifests. All right? This is the reason, in verse 24, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. Amen? The size of your mountain doesn't matter to God. The size of your mountain doesn't matter to God. That's what happens when we get caught up in the natural realm. The natural things can be overwhelming. The natural things, and the enemy loves to just put an extra coating of fear on it. If he can get you to be in fear, you'll freeze. You'll freeze. But the size of your mountain doesn't matter to God. The amount of money you need for your project, for the ministry, whatever it is, it doesn't matter to God. Amen? But we do know that we are to never face our mountain with our mouth closed. Never face your mountain with your mouth closed. Never go silently to your mountain. The enemy is constantly bringing negative thoughts to us about why something can't happen. Oh, that will never happen. They will never get healed. But we know how to cast those thoughts down and don't allow them to supersede God's word. He will get you to just lock up and freeze with fear. You go to the doctor and you get a negative report, and so many people hear about cancer, and for some reason they go down the path that I'm doomed. No, cancer is a curable thing. It's treatable. It can be taken care of, okay? But we have to use our authority, be vocal, and let him know, let the enemy know that he is already defeated. Jesus defeated him at Calvary. And that we are not going to limit our God. Sometimes you have to get ugly. in the face of the devil. And you have to just have a shouting match. You need to let the enemy know who you are in Christ, and that you know who you are in Christ, and that he's defeated. We know his end, and he is really trying to ramp things up in these end time days. Fool, fool, fool. We serve an unlimited God who wants to bless us so that we can be an advertisement of how good our God is to his children. We are his marketing team, so to speak. In fact, you and I are like billboards. You see a billboard with a message on it. That's what we are to the world. We need to be able to let the world see our good God. Amen? Because the world needs to know that this God is loving, he's kind, and he's unlimited. The world is trying to solve all their problems and things with everything out there except God. And it grieves his heart. It really does. So we are his advertisement. So when things happen in your life, share with people. Tell people about Jesus. Amen? Maybe the problem for some is that they are challenged with not yet having the revelation of how much they are loved and how much God wants to do for them. All you have to do is look at Jesus. There's evidence of a love that's unconditional. And to this day, no matter what you may have done, maybe you're a prisoner, maybe you've had time that you spent in prison, that doesn't rattle our God. That doesn't change his love for you. So always know that whatever you're confronted with, it's not going to limit your God. Just stay plugged into the word and let the process work things out. When you stay plugged into the word and use your faith to trust God to do the impossible, it will happen. We cannot limit our unlimited God. You've heard me talk in the past about the characters of God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's always present. He's present everywhere. But the fourth characteristic, omniscient, omniscient, he's all-creative. So the person that has a negative report that the medical world cannot solve, our creative God can take care of it. Bring it to him and give him the opportunity. Remember, we talked about in the last message about the Samaritan woman and how she was really turned on to asking questions, spiritual questions. And when the disciples went into town to get food for Jesus, and when they came back, he said, "I've had food that you know not of." He had a supply that he gave out to her. And that woman became the first female evangelist in the scriptures. And she went down and got the whole village turned on, and they came to hear about him. But Jesus stayed there and the whole village got saved. But he had something. When he gave out, he was refreshed. So never hesitate to go to God for something that you think may not be possible, because we have an unlimited God. Amen. We never close a message without giving people an opportunity to get to know this unlimited God and to tell you about Jesus Christ and give you an opportunity to get born again. So I'm going to say a brief little prayer. And if you would confess that, because we're talking about saying, okay? And if when you speak that according to the scriptures, Romans 10, 9, and 10, when you confess that, you will become born again. Your spirit will just change from death to life, because Jesus will now become your Lord and Savior. So just repeat this after me. Say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, buried, but rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord, and take over my life. Thank you, Lord, that I now have eternal life. Amen." And so if you prayed that simple prayer and gave your life to Christ, we have information on the screen for you that you can contact us by email, by mail, by phone, and we'd like to give you some free material so that you can get started in the right direction. You are like the baby coming home from the hospital. Amen. And as you come home from the hospital, you need all these things to get started and go in the right direction. And that's what we'd like to provide for you. So please contact us. Praise God.